today on Life Talk.
And he said, I'm pressing on so that I can fulfill the purpose for which he laid hold of me. This was the heartbeat of his life. It ought to be the heartbeat of your life and mine. Yes, we have to go to work. We have to earn money. We got to pay bills, raise kids. But the primary heartbeat and pursuit and thrust, I want to fulfill the purpose for which he laid hold of me.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's program, you can always listen to it right from our website, lifetalkradio.us. You may have been listening to the program for a while, or possibly just tuned in. Well, I want you to know that we do this for you. With a world that is searching and coming up empty, it's nice to know you can land on this message of hope and truth, something we all need to hear. So let's jump right in with today's program. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more about the message here on Life Talk.
In the Apostle Paul's letter to the Philippians, he becomes very autobiographical. He shares with us how the Lord's calling on his life and fulfilling that call is paramount in his thinking. He wants Jesus and everything Jesus laid his nail-scarred hand on him to fulfill on earth. And I call it Paul's passionate pursuit. And in his pursuit of the purpose of God for his life, Paul tells us what we must do in order to get there. We must learn to forget what lies behind in our past, and we must reach with all of our might for what lies ahead in our future. I believe today's word is going to help many of us make a fresh commitment to pursuing God's best for our lives. So let's get started as I share the message entitled, Paul's Passionate Pursuit. Now, we're going to talk about Paul's passionate pursuit. That's kind of sums up the last half of chapter 3. And last time we closed looking at the Apostle Paul's great desire to know Jesus better and better, and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. Now, as we begin with verse 12, the great apostle continues with a description of his daily goal in life. Now, I want everybody to say with me, his goal should be my goal. And he's going to make that case before we get to the end of this chapter. Paul's goal, he's going to tell you and me to model our lives after what his goals were. So as saying that, let's see what they were. He says in verse 12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. That's something else I ministered to those men. We didn't find Jesus, he found us. Now, yes, we repented. Yes, we asked him to come into our hearts, but only because he convicted us of our sin. If the Holy Spirit had never come near us, we would all be lost tonight. All right? So I shared with them, you didn't choose him. He chose you. All Christians, not just preachers, all Christians. You didn't choose him initially. He chose you. Why? There was a purpose, that you would go and bring forth fruit. So there is a that for which he laid hold of you. Everybody say that. Now say with me, everybody's got a that. There's a that over your life. There is a that for which he laid hold of you. And encased in that word that is God's individual purpose for your life. There is a that. That for which he laid his nail-scarred hand on you and saved you. We're not just saved for heaven, though we're going to look at the beauty of heaven tonight. We're not just saved for heaven. We're saved for a purpose or purposes on earth. There's corporate purposes. We all here at Turning Point have a corporate purpose together. Our purpose is to build the saints up in the Word of God here into maturity. But I also believe our purpose is to carry the Word of God to a dark, reprobate, and depraved nation, to shine like a bright light. And we're going to take it to them every way we can. And we're working on new ways right now. But here's the deal. There is a that for which he laid hold of me. There is a that for which he laid hold of you. That you would go and bring forth fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, kindness, faith. Against those things, there's no law. But not just inner fruit, outer fruit, people being influenced by you for Jesus. You're influential. You are an influential human being. You may not know it, but people watch you every day. And as they watch, you're influencing them for bad or for good. And I believe those that are here tonight, especially in 100 degrees on a Wednesday night when you could be doing other things, it's got to be good. Amen? I want you to notice Paul's memory of the day that Jesus Christ revealed himself to him was a vivid snapshot in his mind. It's where everything stood still. When Jesus knocked him to the ground and a light shone around him and a voice spoke to him, though there was no person standing there, and said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord?" "I'm Jesus." All right, for Saul, who later became Paul, everything stood still. His whole life stood still. It became the premier memory of his life. That one. It was frozen in time. Now, I don't know about you, but I can point to some times God touched me where everything stood still, where my life was never the same. We would call it a defining moment. A defining moment. You know, I believe in defining moments. I believe in God-given defining moments. When God does something in your life, God touches you. He invades your space. He comes into your life and he touches you in a way, on a level that you could never, ever forget. If you lived to be a million years old, you could never forget it. It's frozen in time. It's when everything changed direction. For Paul, he was going this way, and after that encounter with God, he's going this way. Totally. It was a total life-altering, direction-altering event. And he says, I can't get away from the moment he laid hold of me with a purpose in mind. And he said, I'm pressing on so that I can fulfill the purpose for which he laid hold of me. This was the heartbeat of his life. It ought to be the heartbeat of your life and mine. Yes, we have to go to work. We have to earn money. We got to pay bills, raise kids. We got places to go, things to do. We all have a life to live. But the primary heartbeat and pursuit and thrust and focus of our life should be, as believers, I want to fulfill the purpose for which he laid hold of me. For Paul, that was the day he was arrested, apprehended, seized, captured by the love of God, and also for a purpose on earth. Now, God's purpose for him was what I just said, that for which he was apprehended. But he wasn't just apprehended to go to heaven. Here's what we know Paul was apprehended for, just a few of the things. He was apprehended to write much of the New Testament. He was apprehended to reach the Gentile world for Christ. He was known as the apostle to the Gentiles. He was apprehended to testify of Christ before Caesar. And he was apprehended essentially to be the architect of the local church. Because when you read Pauline epistles, it's Paul who taught us about local church life. I mean, he laid it out. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, that we are to come together with every joint supplying until we all grow into the fullness of the stature of Christ. He had names for the church, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. It was Paul who was anointed to receive the revelation that laid down the architecture for the local church and local church life. It was Paul. So God laid hold of him, used his brilliant mind, used his heart, used his life in extraordinary ways. So for Paul, fulfilling that calling became the number one goal of his life. Now let me ask you, what's the number one goal of your life and mine? When we get up in the morning, what are we thinking about achieving? Are we thinking about achieving that gold watch at 65 and receiving our pension and hitting the greens and having fun in the sun until we one day die? Is our goal to achieve a certain income level or a certain type house? Is our goal, what is the primary pursuit of your life? Because everybody has a primary pursuit. There's a lot of things we chase after, but there is a primary motivation that drives all of us, and it's good to ask yourself, what is it with you and what is it with me? I like to think it's Jesus and what he's called me to do. I can tell you, as far as I know, that's what it is with me, because when I realized at 19 that he had laid his hand on me to minister the word of God and preach, it has consumed me all these 20 years. I'm just kidding. I just have to pull that on you because I want to be sure you're with me. No, a lot of years. A lot of years, okay? It has been what I have shot for and aimed for and pressed into and sought to fulfill my whole life. He did that to me. It's not to my glory. He put that in me, okay? It is God that works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So if you want to do of his good pleasure, he put that want to do in you. Amen? Amen? So he says, brethren, in verse 13, I do not count myself to have apprehended, to have fully completed my purpose. But one thing I do. Everybody say one thing. Now see there? He had a one thing. Now watch this. One thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to those things that are ahead. Now notice, he said, this one thing I do, I'm chasing after what God laid hold of me for. And he said, for me to actually fulfill it, I'm going to have to do two things. And I want you to say them with me. Forget some things and reach for some things. Now watch this. You can't reach if you don't forget. You will never reach for God's best unless you can forget some things. Now, interestingly, the word forget here comes from a Greek word that means to neglect, to focus on. We could say, Paul is telling us, there are certain things in my past, the memory of which I have chosen to starve. I've chosen to starve some memories. I've chosen to not access some memories in my past. I've chosen to not fellowship with certain memories and events of my past, lest they hold me back from what is ahead of me. So I've chosen to forget. I mean, folks, listen, you can just choose to forget. When a memory of something bad or whatever jumps into your head, you can say, you know what? I'm starving you out. I'm going to neglect you till you die. I am not going to fellowship with you. I'm not going to spend time with you. I'm not going to give you time out of my day to consider you, ponder you, meditate on you. I'm going to forget you. What's that old saying? Forget about it. Forget about it.
Before Pastor Jeff comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple of important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, lifetalkradio.us. You'll find today's program right there in the listen page, along with all of Pastor Jeff's messages. There's also a link to a complete station list that shows all of the stations Life Talk is on across the country, so you can let your friends and family know how they can listen to Life Talk as well. There's also a partner link for you to be able to support this program with your generous gifts. So check it out, lifetalkradio.us. Thanks so much for your heart of generosity. We truly appreciate it. And Pastor Jeff's back now for the conclusion of today's program.
So Paul is saying, and believe me, he has some good things to forget and he has some bad things to forget. He has chosen to neglect focusing on past blessings, past achievements, past sins, past failures, past mistakes. Now here's a man who took Christians into a prison and shackled them and tortured them until they renounced Christ. Now think with me a minute. Before he was a lover, he was a hater. Here's Paul when he was Saul. He took Christians, moms, dads, children, took them into prison, cuffed them, shackled them, put them in torture situations, and then said, I'll stop when you say I renounce Christ. Oh, help me, Jesus. Some of them, he was there as they were killed at his order. He martyred some. He had, in his memory, the cries of people dying in pain that he did. He had in his memory, echoing around in the memory chambers of his soul, he had the memory of children crying out for parents as they were separated. He had in his memory these shrieks of people being tortured. And then people saying, just to get away from the pain, I renounce Christ. Now, think with me a minute. He said, forgetting. You don't have anything like that back there. I don't have anything like that back there. I got some bad stuff, but nothing like that. But Paul said, I choose to not let those past memories haunt my mind to the place that I can't reach forward to what he has for me, because I'm so convinced his blood has forgiven me that I am free to not remember them and not beat myself up and not punish myself and reach forward to what he's got for me. This is powerful stuff. This man knows what he's talking about. His burning focus is on what lies ahead, and his attitude was, nothing is going to keep me from fulfilling that for which he laid his hand on me. I wrote a book entitled The Windshield is Bigger Than the Rearview Mirror. The title is self-explanatory. The windshield is bigger than the rearview mirror. Right? You know, there's people that literally live driving through life looking in the rearview mirror. And if you do that for 5 minutes tonight, you will crash. There's a reason the windshield is bigger, because that's what you're supposed to look through when you're driving down the highway, not the rearview mirror. But there are people that can't pull their eyes away from what they did, where they went, what they said, the betrayals, the pain, the mistakes, and even the successes. Oh, I was so successful back then. Listen, and then they tell themselves, and sometimes the devil tells them, your best days are behind you. You're never going to see another time like that. And that's a lie. Because God says, remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall. When will it spring forth? Now. But if you're going to experience it and see it and spot it and go for it, he says, remember not. So Paul is really echoing Isaiah and other prophets in the Bible, other verses in the Bible, where you've got to forget, remember not the former things. Don't consider, don't ponder, don't meditate on the things of old. What they did to you, how you were hurt, how you were betrayed, how they did you dirty, or how hot you were. I'll never be that hot again. I'm not talking about that kind of. Although, that happens to be true too. Beauty is fleeting. But I'm talking about you really had it going on, and now you're not, in the world's eyes, doing quite as well. But never tell yourself it's over for me. It's not over for you. Moses started his ministry at 80. Caleb said, give me my mountain, when he was 80 years old. Sometimes I wish I was preaching Sunday when I'm sharing here tonight. So Satan is master, you do know that, at turning our focus backward to past sins, past failures, past relationships, past successes, at the expense of future focus. But Paul says, my faith is focused on what lies ahead. The best is ahead. The best is ahead of me. Can we say that together? The best is ahead of me. Now, you need to tell yourself that several times, because you have so believed the devil that the best is not ahead of you. Some of you have believed the worst is ahead of me. You've got to rebuke that, because God says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So this attitude of looking forward and forgetting what lies behind allowed him to use the second key to achieving God's purpose. The second key was reaching forward. First key, forgetting what's behind. Good, bad, and ugly. Second key, reaching forward. If you want to fulfill that for which he laid his hand on you to fulfill and accomplish, you've got to forget and reach. The word reach means to stretch intensely toward. Like a runner stretches toward the finish tape to be the first one across. Stretching. He said, I want God's highest for me so bad my whole life is stretching forward to reach it, grab it, hold it, obtain it, make it mine. Paul says, I'm stretching with all my might towards the goal of finishing that for which Jesus laid hold of me. He goes on to say in verse 14, I press. That's another powerful stretch word. Stretch and press are very similar. I'm stretching and I'm pressing towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Throughout this entire intense passage that we've just read, we see Paul as a man running a race. I see him. His head is thrust forward. His expression is fixed in fiercely determined lines. His body is straining forward. Every nerve is heightened. His whole being is reaching toward what he calls the prize. In other words, he wants what he's after. He is not taking the call of God lightly. He is anything but lukewarm. And what is the prize he's after? The high calling of God. It is the that for which Jesus laid his nail-pierced hand on him. Now that's supreme dedication to the max. And I wonder where we stand in comparison, and I'm pointing right at me, the teacher. Do we wake up every day and say, I'm stretching, I'm reaching, I'm pressing, I'm longing, I'm grasping, I'm flexing, I'm stretching for what he's called me to do. I want to be everything he's called me to be. I want to be everything that he has called me to be. Do we wake up and say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Where am I to serve? What spiritual gift have you placed in me? How can I make my life today count for God? Lead me, Lord, in your purpose for me this day. I'm going to stretch. I'm going to press. I'm going to reach forward. And if memories from the past try to occupy my brain and distract me away from that high calling, I say, I've already chosen ahead of time to forget you, to starve you, to neglect you as a thought, as a memory. You don't deserve my time. I'm too busy reaching. Can we say that together? I'm too busy reaching. Amen. Now, Paul next gives an exhortation. He says, therefore, let us, as many as are mature. Now, therefore means, what's it there for? When you see a therefore, you got to look and see what it's there for. He's saying, in light of what I just told you, then let as many of you that think you're mature spiritually have this same attitude, this same mind. If you think you're mature spiritually, you ought to be thinking just like me. That's what he's saying. You ought to be just like me in this. If you're mature spiritually, you're stretching and reaching just like me. And if in anything you think otherwise, if you've got any other attitude other than that one, my God is one day, someday, some way, going to reveal that to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. And here Paul is encouraging every Christian to come out of the bleachers and get in the game. If we claim to be spiritually mature, we're going to have the same attitude he did. And if our attitude is otherwise, God's going to show it to us. But he says, look, he said, if you've got the attitude of a mature spiritual person, then you're not a bleacher person. You're not sitting, soaking, and souring. You're not just taking up space in church. You're supporting your church financially and with your gift. You are coming together in unity to help your church achieve the vision he's given all of you collectively. And individually, you're getting up and you're saying, Lord, today is a day I'm forgetting what's behind me and I'm reaching towards what is in front of me. I want today to be further along in my race than I was when I got up this morning. So come out of the bleachers. Come out of the bleachers. He reminds us that you never arrive spiritually. Never. But to whatever degree we've grown, he said, whatever degree you've reached, wherever you are in your spiritual life, you should still walk by the very same rule. Forgetting, reaching, forgetting, reaching, forgetting, reaching, forgetting, reaching. If I'm going out and I'm pulling people out of wheelchairs and 1,000 people a day are being led to Christ by me, I still should get up every day and say, today I forget and today I reach. Forgetting and reaching. No matter what level I've attained, I need to have that same mindset working in my life. Forgetting, reaching, forgetting, reaching, forgetting, reaching.
Thanks for tuning in today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 877-884-3111. 877-884-3111. You can connect with us at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Also, did you know that Life Talk is on hundreds of stations all across the country? You may have family or friends who would love to know how they could listen to the program as well. There's a comprehensive station list at our website where they can see how to find the program in their area. Finally, Life Talk is a daily program, but also has daily cost. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these timely messages with Pastor Jeff are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 877-884-3111 or at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Your partnership with this program through your generous giving is always needed and very appreciated. So thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Life Talk.